Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got an awesome guest, and I had a great conversation with him today. It's Will Turpin, bass player for Collective Soul. Been wanting to chat with those guys for a long time. I've been a fan for many years. So glad to talk to him. And they got a brand new double album coming out in May called From Here to Eternity, and a brand new single called Mother's Love out right now. So check it out and enjoy this interview. I had a lot of fun. So here we go. Here's Will Turpin. But anyway, brand new album coming out in May, right? So tell me about that. Now, this is a double album, right? 20 songs on there, and I've been listening to them. Really cool stuff. Now, tell me, why did y'all decide to do a double album?
Well, man, we started out as just, we started out as creators in the studio as much as we were live performers. And it's just part of our DNA. We get in the studio and things flow. Matter of fact, that's one of my favorite songs off the new record, Let It Flow.
Yes.
But, man, it's just still all part of our DNA. It wasn't a choice of let's make ourselves record a double record. It was the fact that things are going so smooth. We always wanted to release a double record. And of course, most of the time we would mention that to anybody in the industry. They're like, well, yeah, waste of time, da 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 da. But
right.
You know, at this point in our career, we're like, we don't care. We're releasing a double record because our hero did it and we want to do it too. Yeah.
Right. And that's good. Don't listen to the naysayers or people that, you know, they're not the ones that had to struggle through all these years and you know, through the ups and downs. But tell me this, though. Now, 30 years, right, with the band. So how have y'all survived through all of that? I mean, I know there's every band goes through a lot of challenges and the music industry changes. There's all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things going on. So how come y'all have survived for 30 years?
I think we understood, our studio acumen was established when we were kids, man. You know, we're not a garage band that just started making music and got popular. We really understood how to serve the song, and the strength of a song is where all of this lies. That's where the longevity lies. So yeah, as Ed Roland, as the primary songwriter, his lyrics, us understanding as a band the direction of the music and what we wanted to be like. And you know, we've certainly gone through some turmoil. There's the behind the music cliche lines. They've all happened to us, you know, between drugs and all the other things that rock and roll brings on.
Sure.
But the fact that, like, even me, Ed and Dean, I don't have a memory without knowing who they are. So we've always been true creators. That's still in us. And we've known each other a long time. Our families knew each other. Their father knew my grandfather, you know, going back generations. So I think there's something that's just kind of baked into Collective Soul that allows us to, like I said, you know, we serve the song and we want the songs to be timeless. And I think we kind of accomplished that. It took me a while to say that, but now I'm looking back, I'm like, okay, they're not going to stop playing certain ones of these songs. It's just not going to happen in my lifetime.
Right. Sure. And what I've noticed about this album, which, like I said, going to be released in May, but there's a certain energy. There's some powerful, there's riffs and cool, you know, beats and sound. I mean, it's similar to the second album, the self-titled album. You know, there, it just reminds me of that, you know, that sound. Is that something that y'all try to do? I mean, looking back, you know, I guess that was the most popular album, second album. Do you look back on that and go, we want to kind of accomplish that and get that kind of basic sound structure?
No.
Or does it just come natural? I mean, or do you not want to do that? Do you try not to sound like that?
I tell people there's not a lot. I mean, we understand what direction we're going to go with, but I'll still keep using that word creator. If we're creating, we try to put ourselves in a space that's not restricted by some kind of we're trying to do this or we're trying to do that. We create from feel and what sounds good and what feels good. Now that's going to be similar to some of the stuff that we did because we're the same people,
Sure.
but we don't come in with foregone conclusions about what we think a song should be like. Every song is an individual piece. They work together as an album. No, man, we create from a space of emptiness, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, tell me this, as far as the bass player, now when you come in, you're talking about, Ed has the songs. There's like a certain probably structure, kind of an idea that he has for the song. When you're
Right.
recording, let's just say you're laying out the tracks, do you have a basic line that you're going to play, or just sometimes, it just kind of comes through and you kind of ad lib sometimes? I mean, how do you go
All of
about?
that. It depends on the song. Sometimes Ed will play me an acoustic version of something he's working on, and I'm like, oh, okay. I can hear the bass line already, right? It just
Yeah.
popped right in my head. And sometimes I have to kind of, I try to just, I try to, again, try to start from a place of emptiness. If I'm not finding something that to me is special, fits, works with the song, but it's still special and interesting, if it's not coming to me, then I really try to just wipe the slate clean in my brain, and I try to use my ears more than my hands, if that makes sense. So I try
Yeah.
to listen to what Johnny's doing, or listen to what the guitar part that Jesse's doing, or even just the rhythmic pentameter of Ed's acoustic. I'll listen to that and just try to take stuff in, and then eventually, hopefully, eventually something naturally just falls out. And then when something naturally falls out that you think is cool, then you got something that you think you can build on and maybe, make the cool stuff cooler,
Sure. Sure.
So like, yeah, the Let It Flow would have been an example of one that I was like, I could have played it really simple and stayed with the guitar part, but I was like, man, that's just, it's boring, da da da. And man, I just really opened up and allowed it to come into me. And I think that's one of the I think in 30 years, I think that's one of my cool standout moments as a bass player in a band. I love that song, and that's exactly what happened. I could have played the root and stuck with the guitar part, made it kind of heavy and linear, but I opened myself up and it came to me. It dropped in my lap, man. The good stuff always just kind of lightning bolt moment kind of things.
Sure. And to me, that's what makes a great bass player, which, I play the bass, which I play guitar and bass too, but to me, a bass player that thinks outside the box, and like you said, you don't want to just do a simple little thing. You want to go like big. And I know you can't do it on every song,
Can't do it on every
but
song. Sometimes it's best to stay right with the guitars up,
yeah.
river flows, some of our classic songs. It's all about staying right
Yes.
on top of each
Yes.
other and just making it so intense and so heavy. And then there's songs like Let It Flow. I was like, nah, we don't need to stay on top of each other. I need something right here that just makes this song move and makes it pop. And as excited as my bandmates were after I kind of came up with it, I'm gonna say I think I did okay, because they were like, dude, that's hot.
I agree. I agree. That is a standout song. So is that your favorite song from the album? What's some of your
It's
favorites?
probably my favorite song from the album. I like words. I can't remember some of the names of them. What's the it's like on this it's on the second record. It has something to do with words. Mother's Love's awesome. Dude, this record's chock full of good stuff, man. It's another part of Collective Soul's MO, so to speak, man. You can't really pigeonhole our sound. It's all over the place. It's musical. You can say it's musical,
Yes, it
but
is.
you can't say it's straight rock. You can't say it's pop. There's funk. There's swing in this record. There's a swing tune. Matter of fact, that's the name of that tune. That's an exciting song for me. Me and Johnny were like, oh, we get to act like a swing band. All right, this is gonna be freaking fun, man. And we had a blast doing that song. So
Well, do you think that's a lot to do with the longevity? Also, is the fact that you're not labeled as a rock and roll, because, like, I know during the 90s it was like the hair bands were going away and there was this alternative, but y'all kind of just kind of coasted through there and kept releasing music and things like that. While the other guys were going away, that probably was reason, right?
Yeah, I think the depth of our creativity is wider and deeper than a lot of bands. I mean, I just do.
I mean, that's good. I mean, that because you can't get bored. It's not the same old thing. It's like you got something new with each song that I heard on this album. It was like, it's not like you just threw a bunch of stuff together and it's like, eh. It was like you took time out. And each song is unique and has its own energy, and it's very listenable. It's not like you go, I'm skipping this. You're like, I like this, man. But yeah, I mean, I do believe I believe the fans are going they're gonna love this. And like I said, 30 years just in time for 30th anniversary. I mean, what a way to celebrate 30 years, right?
A double album. I like it.
Awesome stuff. Okay, now I'll check this out. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about. Now, think back now. It's been a while. It's been almost 30 years. It's been about 29 years. It was in March of 1995, and you were opening for Van Halen
A little
in
band.
Pensacola, right? In Pensacola, you were on the right side
That was the
of the
first night of
stage.
the tour. I'm with you. That
Right.
was the first night of the whole summer. That was like 35 dates, and Pensacola was first night.
That's right. And that album had never been, the songs were brand new. I remember y'all saying you've never heard the like songs like December had never been played to a live audience. But on the right hand side, there's this big bass rig, and there was you, and there was me right there in the front row. So I was right in front of you then.
I
Remember, I was a guy. No, I was a
remember.
lot skinnier. But hey, I will say this, maybe you could check it out. There's a thing, I think it's Van Halen Live 95 or something like that in Pensacola if you go on YouTube.
Okay.
And it was on MTV, like Spring Break or something. And Jon Stewart was introducing them, and they're like, do you remember that night or anything? But Jon Stewart's like, they're in backstage and they're like, here we go, and all of a sudden there's a clip of me pointing to the camera for like, a second or two, but that was like my debut,
Oh,
my national
you're part of
debut.
the history, man.
That was it. But that night, man, the whole reason that, I wanted to sit right there because we got, I wouldn't say, I don't believe in luck. I don't think. I think everything's, supposed to happen the way it is. But I mean, I was right there. Eddie Van Halen was a few feet away from me, of course, and you were a few feet away from me. That was one of the coolest nights I ever remember. What do you remember about that night as far as, I mean, or that tour with Eddie Van Halen? I mean, is it that's gotta you gotta have some moments thinking about that since we're on that subject, right?
Yeah, that tour actually changed us. We had previously toured with Aerosmith in second half of the summer of '94. We had done every amphitheater with Aerosmith, and those guys were, equally legendary. But it was almost like the first day on tour with Van Halen. Everything was different. It was like big brothers, and they were gonna take care of us, and they were gonna teach us the ropes, and they accepted that like with glee. And I was like, what the heck? Why is Eddie Van Halen putting his arm around me,
Yeah,
second show into the tour? And Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony, these are friendships that we still cherish. And we just got off the Legends of Rock boat with Sammy and Michael. Eddie Van Halen gave me some of my most prized possessions that I own today. He gave me my first five-string bass.
oh,
I don't think they'll know how much they encourage or gave us, musically we had our thing, but just the confidence, the professionalism, those guys are super professional. And then just the fact that we literally became friends and just created so many memories that entire summer. It's a strong that actual summer was a strong part of who Collective Soul became, to be honest with you. So
right.
yeah, man, that was a great moment. And I'll tell you what I remember about Pensacola the first night. We drove up, and that arena was shaking. I could hear Michael Anthony's bass. The arena was shaking. I'm serious.
Yes.
And he was going over what was going to be his bass solo, because this is still when they were doing Everybody Got a Solo. Alex,
Right.
Michael, Eddie. Sammy went out and his solo would be he would start Eagles Fly, one of his solo records, acoustic and stuff. And, but Eddie had left the bass solo off. I assume it was Eddie. He was always the leader of the band. Had left the bass solo off of their set list. So I remember Michael going through what was going to be his bass solo, and then he went up to everybody's set list and put in, you know, Mikey's bass solo.
That's cool.
And it stayed for the whole tour. It was an amazing solo. But that's what I
That's
remember
cool.
about that. I thought that was funny. Like, oh, Michael's got to stand up for himself, man.
That's awesome. But I can remember that night. I remember though the excitement. It was loud and it was, I remember your bass rig was blaring in my ear and I loved every minute. That really actually encouraged me to play. I mean, because of that sound. Is that, do you still have the same kind of setup
I
or have
pretty
you
much have the
changed?
same kind of setup. It's Ampegs, classic, Ampeg classic heads, and the 2 8x10s. For the longest time, I'd turn them on their side. A lot of people don't do that, and I've seen a lot of people lately. They're like, "Yeah, man, the first person I saw that had their Ampegs on the side was you." You know, but
Right.
95, I still had them sitting straight up. When you're
Yeah.
opening up, it's whatever's easiest to get it on and off the stage quickly.
Right.
As we started headlining, I'd do some more fun stuff where I'd put them on the sides and stuff like that.
Well, that's cool. That's also memories though, man. I'm glad that I got to share that moment with y'all.
Yeah, man, so that's a great moment.
So cool. But this new album now, what I've been reading in the notes though, it was recorded at what, Elvis's estate in California where he and Priscilla went on the honeymoon. Is that right?
Nah, the honeymoon house, okay, it's in Palm Springs, and Elvis fell in love with Palm Springs on their honeymoon. And there was a house they stayed at on their honeymoon. Within a year, probably, pretty soon after being at the honeymoon, they call it the honeymoon house. And that house has all been redone, and it's not the same. With soon after being there and falling in love with Palm Springs, he bought his own house. He added to it, and they spent a lot of time there. I mean, his last, you know, the last bit of his life, he was there for every time off, Thanksgiving, his birthdays. He was in Palm Springs. He enjoyed Palm Springs a little more. But we befriended the people who had bought that home, and it had been kind of untouched. Nobody wanted to take on the, or were they smart enough not to try to renovate Elvis's estate unless it was done proper. So as soon as we met the guy who owned it, Tim, our light bulb idea was, well, before you renovate the whole thing and somebody's living in it or renting it or whatever you're going to do with it, can you let the rock and roll band from Georgia, who's always considered Elvis, you know, a huge influence, can you let the boys from Georgia bring in some studio gear and record there? And it took us a couple years to get that underway. But yeah, it was last January, 2023. We were in Palm Springs for the whole month of January. We were at Elvis's house every day. Ed spent the night there. It was a little bit in disrepair. So, you know, there was leaks in the roof.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of the bathrooms didn't work, but it was totally functional enough for us to get in there and do our thing. Matter of fact, the roof leak happened the night that it was. We set up the engineering space in Lisa Marie's bedroom. And it was the closest bedroom to the big room, which is where we were going to record in the bigger main room that looks at the pool and the Palm Springs landscape. But yeah, man, the night she died, in the engineer's room, a leak from the drywall was dripping in, and all the gear, it didn't hit any of the gear, and it dripped like right on the table right next to all the gear.
Oh, wow.
So kind of trippy.
Wow.
It's almost like she was saying, "Huh, that's cool. We all are using this house. I'll let you know, but I'm not going to screw up any of your gear either." You know, I don't know.
I thought maybe the ghost of Elvis was gonna kind of like walking in Memphis, the song. I thought he was gonna come in there and invite y'all for a peanut butter and jelly
I
peanut
mean,
butter banana sandwich.
man, there was vibe and DNA all in that place. I mean, it was the same carpet. It was the same designs. I mean, it was all.
Wow.
The
That's
DNA
cool
all in
though.
there. Yeah, man.
That's really cool. So that had to be fun. I mean, I guess recording in itself is a fun experience, for you, right? I mean, just
get being able to record and knowing that, hey, we're working on something new here, is that
I
that's
like,
always fun.
yeah, it's a two-headed monster with collective soul and being creative. I love playing live, and I feel so fulfilled when we have a great live show. I feel great. But nothing pleases me more than to go into a room and come out with a song that you're proud of. Nothing makes me feel more fulfilled than that. Yeah.
So in this new album coming out, how would you describe it overall? If you could describe it in a sentence, what would you say about this album?
I'd say Collective Soul has released another banger to add to its repertoire, period.
The end. That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Well, tell me this. Now you're talking about recording and your studio. Now you've got a studio. Is it Reel to Reel, right? And can you tell me about that and what all is going on with that?
Yeah, that's the studio with that was our hub. That was Collective Soul's hub. Ed being 7.5 years older than me, he was head engineer at my father's studio for many years, allowed to work on his craft. My father gave us the space to learn, and he was always eager to show us and wanted us to learn, and we did, especially Ed, because yeah. Ed was 29 when we broke. So
Oh.
that was 9 years of overnight success, right? He was working his butt off down there, and me and my friends were watching, including Dean, Ed's brother. We were watching Ed work on his craft, and we were fans of his songs. And that without that studio, there is no hub. There's no place where we met and came together and understood that we could probably be really strong together as a band. But yeah, that was in Stockbridge where we grew up. Established in 1976. The space I'm in now was built in 2001, and it was online in 2002. So the space I'm in now is a studio that's built to be a studio from the ground up. And yeah, man, it's a special place. My father passed away 5 years ago now, and when he passed away, I walked in there, and I was always using the studio for my projects, or I'd find time to produce somebody once every 2 or 3 years while raising a family and being busy with a rock band. But my kids are older. My father passed away, and I walked in there and I'm like, this is my legacy. I'm not letting it go. We're going to pump some life back into this place, and it's going to, the studio is going to ride again. It used to be a super busy place, 80s, 90s. And as my dad got older and things had slowed down, it needed new life. And sure enough, man, like I said, it's no less than my legacy. That place was opened up in 76, and now it's gone through a facelift. I've updated everything. The workflow there is insane, how quickly and how smooth it is. And I tell people it's more of a production house than a recording studio. We don't do a lot of straight up renting the studio out on an hourly basis. It's a lot of people coming in from all over the country to work and work with me and Brian Collins, my partner in the production company. So we've got Real People Music as the production company. We're releasing lots of stuff daily. You can check us out on socials. The new website will be out soon. But the place is just shiny and nice, comfortable. I know what a studio needs for bands. I've got a little experience there. And I've checked all the boxes, man. This place is awesome. So I'm having a blast staying busy with that. Like I said, I'm actually a little bit behind with all the productions that are in the hopper right now, which is a good thing. But yeah, man, I love producing as much as I do creating. And of course, I'm playing a lot of instruments on half of these songs. But
Right.
I'm the ghost player on this stuff. If you hear an instrument and nobody's credited with it, and it's my production.
That's you. The
It's me.
Spoons by Wilter.
Yeah.
Well, you, I know, I was checking out some your solo album. Now, are you still recording? I know you are recording some of your stuff all the time, I'm sure, right?
And I'm working on a list and of the new of the next solo record, and I'm working on lyrics and finishing up, trying to do a lot of pre-production before I start it, so I can maybe go a little quicker, and get it done quick. But yeah, man, songs still pour out of me, man. They, I sit behind a piano most of the time with my solo stuff, and that's when those songs kind of appear.
Well, how many instruments do you play?
I mean, I guess, it's all relative. It's all Western harmony. I mean, outside of like Eastern harmony and Asian instruments, and then I'll always say anything that has a reed, I don't play. But everything else, I can play it. Yeah, I can even play. I'll pick up a trumpet, harmonica, doesn't matter.
Cool. That helps when you're recording. If you don't have a band nearby, you're like, I'll just play it.
Yeah, I think for me, the main way it helps, because I'm always going to try to find people who are better at it, right, than me. I think what really helps with being a producer is being able to speak the language of any instrument. I can hang out with any instrumentalist and speak the language. Workflow goes real quick. I can tell them exactly what I want, and they'll understand what we're going for.
That's right. You can see the big picture because you know what you want to. What part you want to go there? That's really cool. But what going back to the new album though, I won't keep you too long, but the new album out Here to Eternity, May 17th. What's the lead single
The
gonna
lead
be?
single is called Mother's Love.
And that's a great song.
Yeah.
And it fits with your sound. Like I said, it's new. It's but you can tell that's who
Yeah.
y'all are, and that's a great song, man. Tell me about that song, though.
Man, I love it. It's a I would say that is a nice example of straight up the middle, probably a double in the gap of collective soul rock and roll,
I totally agree. I think fans are going to love it. I know they will. I know I love it. I'm going to go back and listen to some more. I listened about half of it, and I'm going to listen to some more of it. And but I've enjoyed the music, man. And for all these years, man, I just want to say thank you for the music. And but that experience in Pensacola that night, it really made me a fan. I was a fan of Shine. I heard the single, and I was like, and I remember getting that album, and I was like, but this took it to another level. And I was like, man. But I'll never forget that, and I always think, man, y'all are one of the top bands around. Y'all always will be, in my opinion.
No, thanks, man. It's like I said, celebrating 30 years this year. There's a lot of pinch myself moments that, I can't, it's what we wanted to do. We wanted to have longevity. We wanted to have multiple amount of records. But now, yeah, we're in it, man. We're in it. We're becoming more popular still today as we go. Every day, Collective Soul's getting a little more popular. With all the streaming and all the movies and TV shows that are still coming out. And speaking of history in 30 years, us, Hootie and the Blowfish, and Edwin McCain are all three on tour together this summer.
So
All
cool.
three of those bands from the South were signed to Atlantic Records, and all three released their first record in 1994.
Wow. And I love them all. Yeah, and I didn't mention earlier, I know it was on the little sheet that I was writing stuff down, taking notes though, but y'all were the only one of five bands that played both of the Woodstock festivals and what,
Okay.
94 or 99? Just
That's a
want to
good
throw that out
stat.
there because that's not an easy task.
No, I was wondering who all had played it twice, and I knew there wasn't that many who had played it both times. But great memories of 94. 99 just was weird from the get-go, and now that you've all seen the documentary, you understand why.
But you were a part of that.
We
You're making
were, and
memories.
our H, it's all on YouTube. There's a high def version of everybody's set from 99, so
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you talking to me today. That's going to be a cool tour, though. Hope everybody goes and checks all you guys out, man. And
it's
Hootie
crazy
and the
how long we've
Blowfish.
all known each other. It's almost unbelievable. We're old, we're still rocking, and we're all still friends. It's been great.
You go. That should be the title, the headline title. Old, still rocking. We're all still friends. That's gonna
That would be a cool name for a tour. I like it.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I want to do this again. I really enjoyed talking to you, and like I said, I'm glad to see you face to face again instead of
Yeah, man.
being there with a bass in your hand.
Right on, man. Thanks. And yeah, thanks for sharing those stories, man. That's cool.
All right, man. Well, you take care.
All right, peace, buddy.
All right, bye. And there you go, a cool interview with Will Turpin. What a cool guy. Glad to share those stories, of course, and remember those good old days. And check out the website for more information. Check out the new single, Mother's Love, and be ready for the new album, From Here to Eternity. And be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. And always remember to keep the music real.